Good morning. We have been having conversations about building. We started talking about making sure that Jesus was the foundation, and last week we were talking about making sure we were grounded, rooted, bolted to that foundation, retrofitted so we couldn't be shaken off. And then we started contemplating what we're building on that. What are we building? And as I was reflecting on the scripture this week, I was reminded of a story I heard a long time ago. You might have heard it also, about a man. He started out as an architect and kind of grew into a developer. And at one point, he took a partner, not an actual partner, but he started working closely with a younger man who had recently gotten his contractor's license. And so the one guy would design the houses and find the spot that he wanted to develop, and the other guy would then do the work of making those plans happen. And they worked really well together because both of them were kind of in sync about the creativity and about the quality, making sure that the houses were really quality and special, and the work was just exceptional, and so their reputation began to grow, and they would do some, you know, like tract houses where they develop a whole neighborhood, but they would do some specially contracted ones that were just amazing. And they became very wealthy through this. The two of them working together was a great partnership through the years. And again, it wasn't a formal partnership, but it was, you know, that they always worked together, and it was wonderful. As the years progressed, their friendship grew, and their property, personal possessions grew, and their reputations grew. But through the years also, the architect, developer, his health started to fail. And so kind of at an early age, he found that he had the resources he needed to be able to retire, and so so he told his friend and longtime partner that he was going to retire, and but he had one final property that the both of them had been eyeing, this one property, and imagining what kind of a house could be on that property, that it would just be awesome. This piece of property was just a wonderful place, and the house, and so. So the architect had designed this house for a very special client, and it was going to be the final house that the two of them worked together on. And the house that he designed was amazing and exceptional. And so the contractor looked at the plans, and he was overwhelmed at the beauty and the detail, and just this house in that setting was going to be awesome. But the contractor was younger, and he hadn't really been thinking about retiring, and he had been kind of planning that this partnership would be continuing for many years to come, and losing this really important half kind of came as a blow to him, and he was trying to think about how he could maximize profits on this. And so as the building began and the work progressed, he started cutting corners a little bit. Not in the places when the inspections were done that they could tell that it was not the same as in the plans, but in some of the places that were kind of hidden, he started cutting corners in the quality of the materials that he was using and the workmanship that was done. So that when the house was completed, it looked wonderful. And nobody from the outside would know, and probably nobody would know for a few years down the line until eventually things would start to happen that shouldn't be happening if they had the quality workmanship, but they wouldn't know for many years. So he felt that it was okay. And so he got all done, so the architect developer man came to see the final product, and they were looking, and they were just amazed, because really it did fit the property just like he had envisioned, and they were both just, you know, excited by this. And only the contractor man inside, he kind of knew inside, but you couldn't tell, and that was all that mattered, you know. And so the guy, the contractor, the developer guy said to the contractor, you know, this is just amazing. This is just so beautiful. And I want you to know that this is my gift to you for all the years we worked together. And he gave him the keys to the house. This is what we're talking about in this passage this morning. You can't serve two masters, you see. A lot of us inside, we're basically good people. And we kind of think we can. Because the concept of loving one and hating the other, that, you know, how many people when you hear that, you're going to love one and hate the other, go, I wouldn't hate the other, right? Inside you're like, I wouldn't hate him. I might, you know, be favorite to one, but I'd still like the other one, and I'd do a good job, and I'd serve with integrity. But you can't. You can't really immerse yourself and serve the kingdom of God if you are really actually concerned about acquiring wealth and power, the wealth and power that this world offers. You can't serve them both. You end up shorting the kingdom of God. We have the foundation of our faith as Jesus, the embodiment and the fulfillment of God's love. And we are grounded in that. We are bolted to that. But we then are the building materials, right, that are working to make God's holy realm. And if we are only partially dedicated to God's holy realm, if there's a portion of us that is still concerned about power and wealth, it's kind of like having 2x4s that have termites in them, right? When you start building the house, what's that going to do? You see, the termites aren't going to stay in that one little part. They're going to spread not only throughout you, but they're going to infect the rest of the project, right? We can't serve both. We can't serve both, you see. To give ourselves fully to God, to be used fully by God, doesn't mean then that we're going to be poor and impoverished, although it might happen, but you know what? It might happen anyway, right? You see, it doesn't mean that we will be deprived of anything. All it means is that the fullness of our life is used by God to make sure that all people experience the abundant life that God has planned. And the brilliance of that is that all people includes us. Yay! See, we don't get left out. We so many times get this warped image that we're going to suffer and lay our lives down that everybody else might have something good, but we're never going to experience that personally. And that's not the reality. When we give our life to God, we're included in the everybody. We're part of that, everybody. And those times in which we find difficult and challenging, those times when we find that we don't have the resources we hoped we would have in terms of personal wealth and personal power, there's a different kind of richness that we experience to carry us through. I have been through difficult times without God, and I've been through difficult times with God, and I can tell you there is a qualitative difference in life. And if you have experienced that, can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. There's a qualitative difference in our lives when we allow God to fill us and use us to create that holy realm, you see. personal power, personal wealth. That's all about the illusion that we have control. God's holy realm, in the sign language for realm, is the control area. God's holy realm, the control area that we have entrusted, that we open ourselves up and allow God to control it, to control our lives, that we surrender that, because this is the unique thing, is that God allows us to say no. We can say no. And when we say no, we suffer. God says you can choose it, but it's not a good choice. We have the illusion that we're in control, that we ourselves are doing it, that gaining power and wealth is something that we actually did for ourselves and can do for ourselves, and we feel like we're in control, and goodness knows we like to feel in control. It's not a comfortable feeling to feel out of control. We like to feel in control. But God has a much better plan, a much better vision of where our lives need to go. And when we allow God to live within us and work through us to be in control, what do we say every week? God can accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine. Remember that Paul reminds us? The power at work within us. God accomplishes this by the power at work within us. Not our own power, but the power of God working through us can accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine. So what happens when we truly try to build God's kingdom without letting God do the work? When we think we have to build the kingdom? See, that's the mistake that we start to make. We give our lives to God. We love God so much. We want to thank God so much. And so we try to do the work ourselves rather than letting God work through us. Well, it doesn't go along as well as it could. One time I was on a volunteer and mission trip. And we went to a very poor country, but there was a group of a dozen of us or so. And there are two different projects. They didn't need 12 people all working on the same project. So they divided us into two different groups. I personally was in the ditch digging group, which was kind of amazing that you would, what country needs to import ditch diggers, but I was in the ditch digging group, and then the other group, we were putting in a water system. Then the other group was helping to construct a cathedral that the community wanted to build, an edifice that would inspire the people, much as the great cathedrals of the Middle Ages, built in the midst of really challenging economic times, but to inspire people, that to remind people that God is amazing and God provides and God is glorious. And when your life seems to be drab and painful, you would look at this and be reminded that, in fact, God is awesome and brings such beauty to us, you see. So they wanted to build this cathedral. It was a Methodist cathedral. And they were really excited about this, and the work they were doing, the theory and the theology about it was brilliant. But there was a problem in that the person who had the most experience at building was, you know, put in charge of the project, and it became his project rather than God's project. And so our group that went included a person who had considerable construction experience and was, in fact, skilled electrician. And not every place in this country had electricity, and so very few people actually understood anything about how to wire a building. And so he was excited to go and be part of this construction project, and he had envisioned that he would be able to get the electricity hooked up. But when he got there, the man in charge, and we were supposed to be very respectful of the people in charge so we don't come and tell them how to do their work. This is part of what you learn when you're a volunteer in mission, that we go and we help them and with it, whatever they feel they need. We don't tell them what they need. We ask them, how can we help you? And so his idea was this. Now, you guys are going to follow this with me, right? So he has, they're building the cathedral out of cinder block and using like Samantha's mortar, making so that it's going to be a good, strong building. But there was a flaw in their construction that they had learned through the ages and passed on. And what they did was they put the row of block, and then they would put the layer of cement, and then they put the next row of block, and you know, you squish it down so it's in there good, right? And it all kind of oozes out, right? And then they let it dry, and they would chisel off the part they made. Really? Really? So we said, trying to be ever oh so polite, but we said, well, why when it goes, why don't you just, well, it's wet. And it's done, and you can use that on the next layer. It's better use of resources, better use of time, a whole lot easier. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The man was so offended. So offended that we would try to tell him how to do it. And so the man who had come from the United States to this poor country and was excited to be used as an electrician was not allowed to be used as an electrician because he was supposed to chisel off these chunks on the outside that could just be when they're wet and be done with it. And he refused. He said, no, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. And so there was kind of this friction, and it was kind of bad, and they didn't have a very good experience there, and the guy felt kind of bad. But he also felt that it was stupid for people to keep honoring this man and his ego more than helping to make the best use of the resources that you had available to you, that making the best use of the resources was a better service to God than making sure that this man's ego was never damaged. So they just had kind of a bad experience. Years later, I talked to somebody else who had gone on a similar trip to the same country, and they said, oh yeah, we were there building the cathedral. Because, you know, it takes a long time to build these, especially when it's only in your spare time and you don't have a lot because you have to work so much just to try to feed your family, right? So. And I said, oh, did you get to chisel off the cement? And they said, what? I said, well, you know, they put the block and they put the cement and then and that part that oozes out, and then they would chisel it off. And they're like, what are you talking about? They just, well, it's wet. Yes, yes. So it seemed like it was a bad thing. And it caused some uncomfortable times and some awkwardness. But you know what? After we left, the guy became, no, we're going to do it a new way. I have a better plan now, and started making better use of the resources. You see. When our egos get involved, it makes it harder to build God's holy realm. You can't serve God and serve our own power or control issues. You see. You have to be willing to surrender that so that God can fully use us. So that we can make the best use of the resources. The United Methodist Church is exploring how to rethink our church, rethink what it means to be church. This congregation has some good stuff to offer. I'm really excited that in this congregation, I get to hang out with a couple dozen people every week who are actively on their journey in such a way that they're telling me stories. Now, I'm not saying other people aren't actively on their journey, but I don't get to hear your stories every week, you see. I don't get to hear your stories every week. But sitting in these small groups and online and sharing with each other about the journey and what we're learning and how we're seeing things in a new way and finding obstacles that have been impediments, very exciting for me, very exciting every week. Every week, I have so much fun with this, and I encourage all of you to be on your journeys and to tell me your stories and to tell them to each other because it's so nurturing. But beyond that, this congregation does a whole lot of lay-based ministry, where the people of the congregation recognize that it's not all about the pastor. If it's only about the pastor, what's the point in you showing up? Go home. I'll do it all. You see, it can't be. Ministry's not just about what I can do, but about all of us doing stuff. And yesterday was beautiful with our parish nurses hosting the Heart Healthy Potluck and having the CPR recertification and making sure people were getting information about how to live more healthy lives. This is beautiful, something I totally can't do. I don't have that training. I don't have that background. I didn't have to do anything about that potluck except show up and pray. Yeah, it was great. And we are building the health of the community, what God wants, health and wholeness for everybody, that abundant life for all people, you see. And how can we do more of this? How can we take this out so that every person in our congregation knows that you are precious and beloved of God and you have a gift that nobody else has been uniquely created the way you are, and you have something to share that is unique and important, you see. It used to be that the United Methodist Church went out in mission, and everywhere we went, we built a school, a hospital, and a church. A school, a hospital, and a church everywhere we went. And then something happened to where we were building just the church. Yeah, I see some puzzled looks. Isn't that a sadness? And do you know what happened when we started just building the churches? You see, the denomination started to decline in vitality. It's about all of us working together, and it's about us finding ways to empower each other so that we're all doing the ministry that God has called us to be doing, so that all of us are seen as precious and valuable in building God's holy realm. The pastor in a congregation has a unique role, but it does not mean it's the most important role. A unique role, but not the most important role. Because everybody has a unique role. And I get to stand up in front and blab a lot, and there are some people out here who are so thankful that they have not been called to stand up and blab a lot. You know? But you have gifts that I don't have. And all of us working together create that holy realm of God, as we open our lives up and allow God to work through us, as we work with God, allowing God to work through us to touch the world, you see. So what are we building? Are we building a monument that inspires people to know that God is good and beautiful? Are we building something that's really about our own egos and self-control? Are we serving God? Are we serving the power struggles of our world today? This is for us to be contemplating. And the thing about it is that day by day and week by week, as we're on the journey, we continue to find those places where we have been resisting God. One of the things I have learned, and much to my chagrin, they say that the things that are in other people that bother you in other people are the things that bother you about yourself. You've heard that before, right? Have you heard that? Okay, so if there's something in somebody else that's pushing your buttons, stop and try to see, is there somewhere inside of me where that's happening? And so I try to do this. When I find that somebody's really irking me, then I spend time in prayer trying to figure out what it is that's really irking me. And then I say to God, God, show me where I do that. And to my chagrin, every time God shows me, every single time, every time, I keep hoping one of these times God's gonna say, oh, actually, you don't do that one. And it hasn't happened yet. Every single time, God says, well, you remember that? Oh, man. It's not about making sure that Sue's got it right. I can't hardly control myself. It's about making sure I'm letting God control more and more of my life. and encouraging others to do the same, and listening to those stories as each of us says, this week I found this impediment in my life, and it was really exciting when I surrendered that. How good I felt, and how rich life was. Week by week, day by day, looking and allowing God to remove those impediments, to heal those wounds from long ago that continue to impair us today. Moving forward so that truly we are all about serving God. So this week, today is the 27th, many people here are going to receive a paycheck in the coming week. Yes? 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 So here's what I want you to do. You get your paycheck. You look at it, you get your slip of direct deposit, you look at it, and you say, God, how can we use this to build your holy realm? Now, the first thing that strikes fear is, oh my gosh, I have to pay the rent, the mortgage, I have to pay my bills. Is not that part of God's holy realm? Is not paying your bills part of what we need to be doing? Keeping other people in business and promoting our economy and making sure our family's fed. But you might say, but there are bills that are excessive that I could trim and use part of this money in different ways. Oh, yeah. Take your pay stub, your certificate of direct deposit this week, before you cash it, before you deposit it, before you spend it, and say, God, I don't want to serve wealth. How can we use this to build your holy realm? Will you join me in a prayer? Loving God, we are excited when we know that you are using us to build your holy realm. And God, we are fearful of losing control. And sometimes we try to serve both you and our own control issues, to serve you and our desire for wealth, to serve you and our desire to feed our egos. And God, we ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us all of our fears and our doubts, our shame and our guilt. Forgive us when we cling to our selfishness and self-centeredness. When we promote our ego and try to control others, forgive us and help us to receive the blessed joy and peace that is ours as we are filled with your love and as we partner more and more completely with you to build your holy realm in our lifetime. God, we ask that this week you would help us to be mindful of the decisions we make, that day by day are faithful to you and those that day by day betray you and your holy realm. Help us to love you so deeply that we have desire for nothing but to be useful to you, that working through us, your plan of abundant life for all people may become a reality. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
We rise up, returning to praise. We rise up, for we are amazed.